This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A senior Ukrainian official has confirmed that Ukraine has used American-made missiles to strike inside Russia for the first time. That as Vladimir Putin updates Russia's military doctrine to say it can use nuclear weapons in response to attacks from Ukraine. This week, marking 1,000 days since the Russian invasion of the country began, President Volodymyr Zelensky thanking the European Parliament for its support.
Even with North Korea's Kim Jong-un, but by his side, Putin remains smaller than the united strength of Europe.
Prosecutors in New York are expected to propose the next steps in Donald Trump's New York hush money case today. Trump was convicted of 34 felonies earlier this year, but the recent Supreme Court case on presidential immunity raises questions about sentencing. The president-elect reportedly calling senators in recent days, trying to sell them on his pick for attorney general, former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The DNR has announced a public comment period for the town of Campbell's application for funding through the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program. The program found that the first phase of the construction of well number one will not have any adverse environmental impacts and that there isn't any need for future environmental reviews or analysis before funding the project. Comments can be sent to the DNR by mail or email with details on the DNR's website under Newsroom. A former Wisconsin congressman is being nominated to join Donald Trump's cabinet. Sean Duffy was tabbed to head up the Department of Transportation. In a social media post, Trump said that Duffy would, quote, usher in a golden age of travel and touted Duffy's experience in Congress. Duffy, who represented the 7th Congressional District for 4 terms, resigned in 2019 to spend more time with his family. Since then, Duffy has co-hosted a show on Fox Business and is a regular contributor on Fox News. Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde announced that he was conceding the race to Democrat Tammy Baldwin on Monday. The announcement on social media, nearly 2 weeks after the election, comes after Hovde questioned the election's results. Election officials in Wisconsin pushed back against Hovde, calling his claims baseless.
As a result, and my desire to not add to political strife through a contentious recount, I've decided to concede the election.
Hovde also said he wouldn't be seeking a recount. An Illinois man is in custody for suspected drug trafficking after leading deputies on a brief chase in Monroe County on Saturday. According to the sheriff's office, deputies stopped a vehicle going 100 miles per hour on I-94 near Oakdale. During the stop, the 43-year-old man driving the vehicle fled and crashed a couple miles away. The man was then arrested. Investigators said the man had over $300,000 worth of drugs in the vehicle. A passenger in the vehicle said he grabbed the steering wheel to crash the car. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go. Download the free Civic Media app on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks beat the Rockets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks pulled out a 101-100 win over the Rockets last night in Milwaukee. It snapped a 5-game winning streak for Houston. Damian Lillard with the winning shot. Doc Rivers says Lillard reminds him of Ray Allen.
Well, Dame just has great courage. You know, reminds me a lot of Ray Allen. In that way, Ray didn't have a lot of bad shooting nights, but when he had one, if you had one shot to make, you still wanted to go to him. And that's how you feel about Dame.
The Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night. Men's college basketball, number 19th ranked Badgers, held on to win over Texas Rio Grande Valley, 87-84. Wisconsin remains undefeated at 5-0. College football, the Badgers head to Lincoln to play Nebraska this Saturday at 2:30. Luke Fickell on his decision to fire offensive coordinator Phil Longo.
Just so you know, on Sunday, I had made a decision to what we needed to do, and then came in, obviously had a conversation with Phil, and pretty much decided that we needed to do it now.
That's the Badgers' Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a lot going on today. Some showers this morning, then windy with falling temperatures this afternoon. We're going to drop into the mid-40s by late today. Tonight down to 34. Tomorrow cloudy and still windy with light snow showers and a high in the upper 30s to near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll invite our old friend and colleague Luke Mathers for Tuesday Tangents with Luke and a report on Wisconsin basketball. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, who's here with me every Tuesday. And we've been talking a little bit about, you know, the different realities of and complexities of what people in this nation face with, people who struggle on a daily basis. I live in a community, man, where I see the struggle firsthand every day. And I see children and families who, man, just eking out an existence and just trying to survive in the wealthiest nation on earth. And Sandy, it doesn't have to be that way, but, you know, it is, and it wasn't always that way.
Well, I think we've always had poor, and at one point we relied on charity, and then by the turn of the last century, I think they realized that charity couldn't fill the bill, and the streets, the cities were suffering because of poverty, and poverty that was not handled. And it wasn't until the period of Medicaid and Medicare when we began to solve the health problems so that we didn't simply have people sick and ill on the streets spreading illness, the charity wasn't enough to pick up that slack. There was a realization that health care was being delivered through the job, and so when you retired from your job at age 65, you needed health care, and so that was the advent of Medicare as well. So these were realities that our society addressed. One of the things the caller before the break, Gary from Sussex, was talking about how it was that he thought that we shouldn't tax the wealthy because it was the wealthy that had provided him with the job early in his career that allowed him to learn the skill that allowed him to start his own business himself. And he identified 1973 as when that was. I would simply point out that in 1973, the marginal tax rate on individuals was well in excess of 70%. And the corporate tax was in excess of 39%. Today's marginal tax rate is in the low 40s for individuals, and right now the corporate tax rate is 21%. So it wasn't necessary to have a tax structure that was necessarily as lean and going to be leaner than it is today in order to provide benefits to society that Gary was describing as some kind of trickle-down that would allow him to receive a benefit because he got a job from a wealthy person who owned a business. There was plenty of wealth and plenty of opportunity in the 1970s in a tax environment that was far different than ours. But we've sort of adopted this theory. We've drunk the Kool-Aid. The taxes have to keep going down in order to have a vibrant economy that provides jobs to people, when in fact the tax structure right now is as low as it's ever been. Okay? As low as it's ever been.
So, Sandy, it's not coincidental then to say that the advent of the debt that our nation has taken on since those rates have been adjusted, those tax rates, are part of the reason that we're dealing with the deficits that we're dealing with.
Oh, sure. I mean, Bill Clinton had surpluses, and we had surpluses until the George Bush II administration when we carried out a big war in Iraq and cut taxes materially, and suddenly we had a huge deficit resulting from that. He then had a financial collapse at the end of his watch, whether that was the government's fault or not. Obama realized a situation in which we were at a near depression level of financial recession, which required the government to, on an emergency basis, expend money on a deficit basis to support an economy and to create a revival. We've had deficits ever since. We had deficits during the Trump administration when we had a vibrant economy, according to him, and we also had a tax reduction at the same time as a vibrant economy. So, you know, there's now groups that have been formed to try and create fiscal responsibility who point out the irresponsibility of reducing revenue at the same time that you're increasing deficits during a financial boom, because when the recession hits, you've shot your powder. You didn't keep your powder dry for the time when you actually need it.
So, Sandy, I'm not saying this to pump you up, right? What I'm getting ready to say.
Yeah.
But going back to Donald Trump's presidency, you and I were on the air, and you said there'll be inherent danger if Donald Trump gives tax breaks while the economy is booming. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I remember that. That's 7 years ago, maybe. But you were projecting it then.
Well, that's the problem, man. When you have deficits during a boom, you should realize that you're shooting your powder off. You should keep it dry during the boom period, because there will
when
be
when you need it.
So when you need it during a recession, you need to try and support the economy. You will have had deficits to the point where you no longer can suffer the deficits you need to suffer, and we're near the at that point. And the recessions that were experienced during the beginning of the Biden administration were because of that kind of emergency. The COVID pandemic was a potential financial emergency. So some of the deficit that was expended during his period was clearly in response to that, and was the right time to use the powder. But we should keep our powder dry when we can.
Let's go to Rob from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Rob. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I just wanted to add a few points. When Ronald Reagan took office, I think CEO pay was about 40 times the average worker. I haven't seen the numbers in a while, but the last time I had seen it, it was something like 400-1.
Yes.
And for the life of me, I don't understand how people can't understand what's going on here. They've cut your defined benefit plan. They're going to cut your other benefits. Your health insurance is going to go up. Where do they think this executive pay is coming from? It's coming out of the workers' pocket. I just don't understand how some of these people cannot put two and two together. And in years past, I used to work with people, you know, 20, 25 years ago from other countries, and they would say, your executive pay is out of control. We don't see anything like this in our country. So I think it's an area of American exceptionalism, is really bloated, out of control executive pay. The tax code in 86 was terrible in terms of lowering the rates, but then we also changed the notion of a dollar from investing or capital gains is different money for the sake of money rather than people making a living after actually providing a benefit to society, making a product or a service and delivering it to a customer. That was a big thing. And then NAFTA, we've never recovered from it. So when Ross Perot said that giant sucking sound, that really killed their economy and ruined a lot of these cities. And unfortunately, that happened under Bill Clinton's watch. So,
well, you know, Robert, what you just did was spelled out a slippery slope that brought us to where we are now. You know, and so you can't point to one point in time. You know, this has been a cacophony of many different things all, together that have brought us to this place, Sandy, is it?
Yeah, and I think that the current situation involves, I think this is an outgrowth of American individualism, which is that part of going along with this individualism is aspirationalism. Americans, poor or in the middle class, all aspire to live the life of Elon Musk, okay? And so we don't have the same kind of social potentially friction because of the wealthy in our country, because for some reason they're our version of royalty. They're the vision of our personal aspirations, and Americans aren't embittered about the wealth that's accumulated by the wealthy. And we've sort of bought into the trickle-down notion that if we tax the wealthy, we'll be essentially ruining our own aspirations to become wealthy like them. We'll be making it more difficult. And we need to temper that. We need to get realistic about that, because the wealthy in this country owe it to this country to pay a fair share of the taxes. And however, because of the power that is derived from the kind of money they have continued to be able to persuade the American public that their taxes need to be lower, okay? And that just doesn't work on a perpetual basis.
You know what I don't understand about that, Sandy, is when you look at exactly how much money a Diane Hendricks will receive from that tax cut, it's peanuts compared to her wealth. So why are they so hell-bent on getting that tax break when it's minuscule? But it creates so much hardship for the other Americans. I don't understand
that.
Well,
I mean, it is true that the top 5% of income earners in this country pay a very significant percentage of the income tax. But that has a lot to do with the income disparity that has been created by the system we have. That wealth that they have obtained because they live in a country whose economic architecture has permitted them to obtain extreme wealth, okay? And we as Americans and they should not simply take all that for granted and assume that a government is actually the only impediment they have to, I guess, I don't know what, unlimited wealth. And you would think that patriotism would drive people in the direction of wanting to pay the taxes that support their country rather than the Donald Trump theory, which is that if the tax code lets you escape taxes altogether, only a fool would pay taxes. My view is that, no, only a patriot would pay taxes then.
All right, 855-752-4842. Sandy Williams is my co-host. He's here every Tuesday and Friday. You two can join the conversation. We are going to get into immigration. Stay on the phone lines, guys, coming up next.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same.
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And you know, if you haven't heard, you know who Sandy Williams is, you know, and what he does and what he's done, you know, it's always great to have him on board because we can get into depth on a lot of different things. I've known Sandy now for about 7-8 years, and I'll tell you, I've learned so much about many things, especially about this government, about, you know, legal realities. And you can do the same thing just by listening to him every Tuesday and Friday on this show. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat, and I hope that we will take time in the coming weeks. Maybe Sandy can do a thing on the second economic bill of rights. This is where we should all be going. We should be looking at the right to a job, the right to earn enough to provide adequate food, clothing, and recreation. The right of every businessman, large and small, to trade in an atmosphere of freedom of unfair competition and domination by monopolies. The right of every family to have a decent home. The right to educate, or should, the right to adequate medical care. The right to adequate protection from the economic fears of old age. These are the things that we should be talking about, and these are the things that will bring us ultimate freedom. Gary seems to think that that guy that gave him the job, that was like a charity thing, I guess. I believe in demand and supply, and I don't believe that a job or I don't believe a wage is a charity from someone. It's because of supply and demand of the actual consumer. But I really would like for us, and if people don't know who Franklin Delano Roosevelt is, then shame on us. We had elected him 4 different times to the presidency. He made transformational change in this country from the Great Depression to what we had up until Reagan. So I just hope that everybody would actually start looking at what it is that's in our best interest.
Hey, Tom, let me ask you, because you constantly bring up FDR. I know who FDR is. I know what he did, what he stood for, and many others. But there are many people in this country right now who believe in rugged individualism, which is what Sandy talks about a lot. And so FDR didn't stand for that. And those policies that you are talking about, there are many who believe that's water under the bridge. Now, I'm not one. But how do you get people who like Gary, who called and said, you know, leave the wealthy alone? And there are many others who believe like Gary. How do you get people to say we're going to go back to, you know, those times?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I believe in rugged individualism. I also believe, as a small business owner, I believe in return on investment. I actually believe in investing in our country, because I do believe that we, the people, all of us collectively, are the government. Rather than having, a dear savior, or having someone come in that's going to be the savior for all of us, it's we, the people. I think FDR kind of believed in, he didn't believe in just giving, welfare queens money. He didn't believe in giving billionaires like Elon Musk, who is truly a welfare queen, all the money that he gets to run the different companies that he does. I would say that when you have the WPA system and you make the government the employee of last resort, if the private sector can't provide someone a job, that person just doesn't sit at home on the couch, but that person actually gets hired by the government to go fill a pothole or go does things that actually develop energy, so therefore we have a successful country. I do believe, when you give money, as an example, to education, you're doing that not because you're being rugged individualism. You want freedom. Freedom is the freedom for all of us.
Hey, Tom, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to Gary from Sussex. Yes, we didn't give him a chance to finish his thought. Quickly, Gary.
Yeah, okay. Tom's a good guy.
I don't want to talk about Tom. What are your thoughts?
Tom had it totally wrong. I did not get a charity job. I went in there, made out an application. There were 30 people looking for a job. Wait a minute. No, let's finish. So I went in there and I said, you hire me and I will learn and I will work hard.
Hey, Gary, all of us did that. Hey, Gary, all of us. You didn't do anything different than any of the rest of us, okay? So what's your point? You support the wealthy, the rich man. You don't think the rich man should be taxed.
Well, my point, Gary, in response to you simply was that back then that person who was viewed as wealthy by you, who had a successful business that was able to employ you, lived in a tax environment that was far different than the current tax environment and still was thriving. And we did have a thriving economy until we had runaway inflation in the last part of that those years. But I was simply responding and to your notion that we have to be so very careful about the taxing on the wealthy, because I think you've said this before and CJ has, these people will leave the country or whatever. And my view is that these people, just like that person who employed you in the 70s, is a patriot who realizes what the American economy has provided them, and they aren't going to leave the country. And they currently have a tax structure that is the lowest tax rate that the United States has had since World War II.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. We're definitely going to get to immigration and, the fact that what would happen if Donald Trump was able to get his wish and the instant deportation of tens of millions of Americans. What would that look like to you and I on the Earl Ingram Show? It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays are my co-host.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A music and comedy venue is closing its doors in downtown La Crosse. The Main announced on social media that it will be closing at the end of the year. The venue has been operated for 3 years in its current setup, hosting live music, comedy shows, an indoor farmers market, and political campaign visits. In the social media post, the venue said they, quote, made the difficult decision to close their doors and did not provide a reason for the closure. The Main has events planned throughout the end of the year. Nationally, electric vehicle use is on the rise, but Wisconsin lags behind other states with only 1% of vehicles on the road being electric. However, a plan to address access to electric vehicles is unfolding as infrastructure is being built, such as charging stations, to serve rural areas. Jeremiah Brockman of the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Association says the lack of charging stations is holding back the electric vehicle market in Wisconsin.
Part of the problem, too, is you have more farmland in rural areas, and if you spend the entire day out on a farm and you're driving around your, you know, many acres of land, you worry about where you're going to charge your vehicle at that point. And I think that's another hurdle.
Wisconsin passed a law this year that will install 65 fast charging stations across the state, including one every 50 miles along major highways. Already, Wisconsin companies are getting to work as Quick Trip debuted its new Quick Charge program last week in West Salem. A former Wisconsin congressman is being nominated to join Donald Trump's cabinet. Sean Duffy was tabbed to head up the Department of Transportation. In a social media post, Trump said that Duffy would, quote, usher in a golden age of travel, and touted Duffy's experience in Congress. Duffy, who represented the 7th Congressional District for 4 terms, resigned in 2019 to spend more time with his family. Since then, Duffy has co-hosted a show on Fox Business and is a regular contributor on Fox News. From the Western Wisconsin Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Beauty in Black is Tyler Perry's new hit show. Although the show debuted to lukewarm reviews at under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, viewers don't seem to care. The show nabbed 8.6 million viewers. If you're doing the math, that's 15.2 million eyes. Perry said he was excited the show is pulling in viewers worldwide to contrast criticism that Black entertainment does not have global appeal. He says Netflix has repeatedly proven it does. Speaking of Netflix, the streamer says 60 million households watched the highly touted, meaningless snooze fest referred to often as the Jake Paul Mike Tyson bout last Friday night. The 58-year-old Tyson lost an actual nail biter as he seemed to be trying to chew through his gloves most of the fight. Anyone who bet that Tyson's elderly legs would go after 6 punches cleaned up. Netflix says they wanted the broadcast to be a spectacle, and it was. If you like watching your TV buffer all night, just an awful event all the way around for fight and entertainment fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a lot going on today. Some showers this morning, then windy with falling temperatures this afternoon. We're going to drop into the mid-40s by late today. Tonight down to 34, tomorrow cloudy and still windy with light snow showers and a high in the upper 30s to near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday morning, we'll talk to an author of books geared toward middle schoolers about not letting a wave of book bans get in the way of good education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we are talking and have been talking a lot about the issues that impact and affect the lives of, you know, the marginalized in this country. And, you know, have we spent an inordinate amount of time on it today? I don't think so. I think if you're one of those people, and as Sandy stated, 42 million or more, and most of them are children and the elderly who struggle and live, you know, in poverty in this nation, is something that needs to be talked about more, not less. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Good morning. I didn't thought you were going to talk about immigration.
Yeah, we are.
I had a conversation recently with some of my relatives who happen to be Choctaw Apache. I called them down in Florida, and we talked about celebrating Thanksgiving. I want to know, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving based upon the history of people coming to this country, mostly criminals, and stealing the land and killing off as many of the Native Americans as possible, and then enslaving Africans and bringing them here? Why are we celebrating Thanksgiving? How come we aren't exporting some of these people who came here and stole everything and killed all these people?
Well, you know, Al, it clearly, the history of our nation is checkered in some horrible, horrible realities. It's part of the reason why some want to do away with the history of our nation, because they want to act as if those things didn't exist. And so, you know, it's going to continue to, yeah, I don't see any of that changing at any point in time. Sandy?
Well, you know, we do. When we took history back in the 50s, this was all glossed over. And so we didn't learn directly, so clearly, what it was that was ongoing. Michael Moore, who's always got succinct things to say, was quoted yesterday as talking about the doozies that we've committed in our history, like the, you know, and he described it as the genocide of 20 million Native Americans and the kidnapping of 12 million Africans to bring them over to work in enslavement in the United States, and the wars that we've had in which we've killed, Vietnam War, 4 million Asians died, and for a purpose that we've had never been able to define. And so, you know, but when we talk like this, there are those who would say we're liberals who hate our country. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, but it is a recognition of things that went on in the past, which is simply factual, right? But this is all part of what this last election was about, because a bunch of the war about DEI and critical race theory was really trying to turn our back on even discussing this kind of stuff, because there was a fear that would have put a dent, I guess, in patriotism. But my own personal view is it's not unpatriotic to simply talk about the facts and say, look, we're going to be better tomorrow than we were, you know, a century ago.
Al?
Technically, Sandy, we've not gotten better in 200 years. We've gotten worse, because we continue to do this, and it gets even worse, and the wealthy are the ones behind it. But I'm saying, let's not export or send people back who happen to be brown. Let's send back all of those who were ancestrally of those people who came and did this in the first place. Let's get them out of this country. Send them back where they came from.
That's a good counterpoint.
Thank you very much for the call. Let me go here, Sandy. And it's time. The immigration plan that Donald Trump says and has promised people that he was going to, you know, get rid of all of these. He talked in mass immigration numbers.
Well, he did, and you know, he did always qualify it by saying he was going to export criminals, okay? So that meant it was a smaller number than everyone, I guess. But he does continue to talk about, and yesterday validated someone else's posting, in which the posting was that there would be a call-up of the military to intervene on behalf of the exportation of these immigrants to assist in the process. And apparently Donald Trump made a posting that said true, that he was going to declare a state of national emergency that would permit him to call up the military and use them for that purpose. So you don't call up the military unless it's a big dragnet, not a small one. So, you know, I'm very concerned. And actually, much of the financial community is concerned because there are large parts of our economy that have become very dependent on the people who have emigrated to this country, are not yet citizens, and might be subject to this deportation policy, like many of the agricultural workers here in Wisconsin and across the country, and many of the part-time workers all across the country. So, you know, and the sociological situation that would be created by this process promises to be very disruptive and quite troubling. So, you know, I think we have to hold our breath, but I hope that there are people who can cause this to be carried out, if it's carried out, in a manner that is humane and socially acceptable and not as disruptive to both our society and our economy as it promises to be.
You know, Sandy, many of those people are invisible. We don't see them.
Right.
But they are as critical a part of our economy as anybody is. And that's all baked into our economy. So even though people say, well, you got all these illegal people in here and it's time for them to go, you're not going to realize that until your hotel rooms aren't clean.
Well, I think we should understand.
And your restaurants.
That a big reason all these people are here is that our economy was interested in them coming
here.
Yes, sucking them up into the economy and putting them to use in the ways that the economy required. And so this has been a bit of a two-way street, and there is no question that a portion that is material of our GDP growth has been dependent on these immigrants who have come to this country and have been deployed in the manner that they've been deployed in the economy. So while it was made a very simplistic issue in the election process and the campaigning process, it is far from a simplistic process, and it is a very troubling process from both an economic and a sociological standpoint. And the notion that the military would be rounding people up in this country remains horrifying.
You know, Sandy, many of these people have been incorporated into our society. Many of those people do landscaping. They do drywalling. They do roofing. They do many different aspects of jobs in this society that are necessary, and that there aren't enough. Many of them come here with trades skills, Sandy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're not all coming here unskilled and just able to wash dishes. Many of them are highly skilled. And they have incorporated into our society and are making a major difference in our society. To say that, you know, they're illegal and we are going to do away with them, it's easy for Americans, those who support that, to clap and say, great, Trump is going to purge us of all of those things, but I don't think they've given any real thought to the impact of what that would actually mean.
Well, and the other thing is that what we really need to address is the process going forward to permit legal immigration into this country on a basis that is consistent with what the needs of the country are, what the interests of the country are, what the values of the country are. And we seem to have a Washington which forever seems to ignore that process. What is the need? What is the funding for, and what is the design of the process going forward that will support immigration into this country in an orderly fashion? And exporting, you know, deporting millions of people is not going to solve that problem.
Build that wall. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Oh, hi, Earl. Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I just have 2 points to make, if I have time to make them.
Go ahead.
The first one regarding your conversation on the budget. I, as you know, was a reluctant Trump voter. And as someone who is, who leans.
You should turn your radio down. You should turn your radio down. All right.
Oh, and their policies. Okay. Is that better?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, and their policies. Sandy, my question to you would be this. You cannot balance the budget or cover the deficit or reduce it clearly on tax cuts, on raising taxes alone. There has to be some cuts to programs. And what I found a little disingenuous about Kamala Harris and her campaign is that she kept insisting that this can be done purely by raising taxes, and it can't. We have to cut programs. What programs will you cut to save money? And my second question regarding immigration, I'm going to age myself here a little bit, but I recall during the Bill Clinton administration, when NAFTA was passed in the 1990s, NAFTA was passed with the promise to the American people that if we allow this trade agreement, then we will build up the economy of Mexico, and Mexican nationals will no longer need to immigrate to the United States. That was the social contract that was made with the American people. But we did not do anything in our policies to prevent Mexican nationals from continuing to immigrate to the United States. So for people like me who recall this history, I just want some input or some reaction from Sandy, because that was the social contract that our government made to us.
Well, it was bipartisan, first off. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, it was part of the discussion of NAFTA. Another part of the discussion was that it would improve the economies of both countries and all of the countries involved, including the United States. And it's not at all clear that that wasn't true, that the GDP growth wasn't accelerated to some extent by the NAFTA agreement and the principles of it. But it's also true that NAFTA is not really the source of the outplacement of jobs at anywhere near the same level as was the World Trade Organization agreement to allow China into the WTO. It's far more complicated than a short answer. But we need to solve the border problem, and it doesn't do much good to rehash NAFTA.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We're going to continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabe and I'm an actual Schwabe. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabe? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines quickly. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Earl, and for Sandy. Do you think with Trump getting into the office of presidency, he will have any guardrails, or is the system so watered down now we're going to end up with a kingdom or an anarchy? What do you guys think? Based on your knowledge, I'll hang up.
Well, let me answer quickly, and then you can go to the guy who really knows, Sandy. I just, for the life of me, can't understand how our nation has gotten into this position, Sandy, where after all these, you know, centuries, one man can upend all of what our nation supposedly stands for. And all of those different tenets of what our nation was built on, that one man could usurp all of that. But we're faced with that, and it's happening.
Yeah, I think it's a person with extreme will who demonstrates the ability to carry out recriminations that has the chilling effect on opposition. He did it, the movement, I mean, I think he learned it from the Tea Party in terms of being very strident about threatening and then carrying through on threats to primary people out of office. He scared incumbents for whom being in office is more important than moral principles or policy implementation. And so he ended up taking control of the Republican Party. And then through this powerful personality, this capacity to threaten and to carry out on threats, I think he's accomplished a great deal in terms of controlling the media. I mean, we had Morning Joe, right?
Yes.
Supplicate.
Kissing his ring.
And you can tell they're doing it because of their job, right? They're worried
right.
about the power he has to essentially ruin them financially. And that kind of wielding of power has a great deal of capacity to chill the kind of guardrails that might otherwise exist. Furthermore, he's hell-bent, obviously, on selecting people over whom he has the power of selection to select people who will not be guardrails because he finds guardrails altogether inconvenient, and he showed that in his last administration. So I am very worried about that. I think the U.S. Senate continues to have at least 9 or 10 Republicans who have the potential themselves to be guardrails, And so, you know, I think that this is not going to be unfettered and it's not going to be smooth, but I think it is going to be ugly.
Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Tom, quickly.
Oh,
quickly, my good friend Bill is on Social Security. He has stage 3 cancer, and he gets about $1,100 a month in Social Security. He gets about $180 a month in food stamps. And CJ is saying that we need to balance the budget on the backs of people like him, which just sets me into orbit. CJ never mentions about corporate profits in the billions of dollars every quarter, you know, and that the those corporations are the ones who are bleeding us to death. And I kind of believe that that is all by design so Trump could get back in, because he will give them all the tax cuts they need. So they're talking about where else to cut. Oh, let's cut Social Security. Let's cut social programs. Why don't we cut the military? We can't even budget the military or audit it, because it is so big. And we give them trillions of dollars. They ask for $10 trillion, and the Congress says, well, we'll give you $12 trillion instead. You know, why don't we look at that before we start cutting the programs on the backs of the poor?
Hey, Tom, I agree with you totally, man. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Before we get out of here, Sandy, every day we're going to have the Politrickster of the week, and none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Or of the day.
Of the day. And none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene gets the cut for today. She wants a national divorce from those who criticize her and Donald Trump. And she kind of wants the blue states and the Republican states and the red states to
separate.
Yeah, didn't we have that before?
Yeah, I think that was
It didn't go too well, did it?
No. Yeah, and well, Marjorie Taylor Greene is definitely low-hanging fruit, Earl. I suspect she could be a repeat performer in this category, because she's kind of daily. And I think she now has claimed that she should no longer be considered on the fringe because Donald Trump was elected. Maybe she's right. But I hope that the people all who elected Donald Trump would not line up behind Marjorie Taylor Greene.
So listen to this. The Georgia Congresswoman criticism comes amid reports of Democratic governors taking measures to protect their states against Trump policies. If Democrat governors plan to commit treason against our president and a majority of the Americans, then let them destroy their own states, she wrote. No one will want to live there. And after years of being attacked by the deranged left, most of us are so sick of their bleep.
Yeah. Well, you know, the version of treason has now become... the test of treason seems to be whether you voice disagreement with government policies as being treasonous, which I would tell you is about as repressive as any regime could be. We talk about the Chinese government being repressive, but this concept sounds extremely repressive and dangerous.
All right. Thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Matinere, Greg Bach Matinere on air. Enjoy this warm weather. Tomorrow it all changes.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we'll go overtime with Maggie Dawn, plus how will Trump fund the cost of his tax cuts, and the new transportation secretary from Wisconsin, and Fox News. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.